Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
It's gonna be a big hit. Christ.
All these crumbs, man.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 287, the worst rated podcast on iTunes. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Buenos tingang dili dias, bendejos.
I appreciate the one-star review that we received.
I think it was the best one-star review we've ever received.
That is true.
If you don't like dudes and bros, this is not the show for you. Actually, I want to read you the very end of this because it's so great, and I feel like it really encompasses like what our show is.
Yeah.
If you like podcasts that masquerade as horror movie review discussion, but instead offer lowbrow frat boy observations and humor that offer little to no intelligent thought or insight into the movies and topics being discussed.
I disagree.
I believe you will have found your nirvana.
Triple check.
Thank you for one star, but like, I love it. It's beautiful. It's poetry. It really is.
He spent some time on that.
He spent some time and he was grinding over that.
His anger was so immense that he wrote three paragraphs.
Three long paragraphs.
His anger was palpable. And if he had heard that, he would have seen that the show does have intelligence.
So thank you, Mr. Yuck.
Because I used the vocabulary word.
For falling blistering right into anger. Our trap. Yeah. That's great. I love that.
This is Rhett, by the way.
That is Rhett.
And this is Jorge.
And this is Maddie Ding Dongs.
Maddie Ding Dong Dilly Diaz.
Yes.
We took all your ding dongs.
You guys took my ding dongs, and then Patreon touched my ding dongs. Everybody wants a piece of my ding dong. There's plenty of ding dong to go around.
Go on now, get. Oh, Jesus, bro.
Yeah.
Dude.
Bro, dude. Yeah,
bro, let's get him out of the way.
You don't like shows that say dude and bro? Are we good? How
are you guys?
Are we good?
I'm doing good.
In other words, you're saying,
well, Superman does good.
No.
I'm doing good.
He's doing good.
Superman. I actually do good.
He does good.
I sound like I don't do anything.
If you want to know how Rhett doo-doos, you can listen to the new episode we recorded for Patreon minutes ago because we talk about those in depth.
Those poor bastards. Yeah, really in depth.
Everyone's doo-doo in depth, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like Jorge goes in depth.
It's a ding-dong diddly doo-doo day.
Yep.
He goes in depth into his sphincter.
You were uncomfortable with that.
Knuckle deep.
With that bit.
Well, it wasn't just that it made me uncomfortable. It's just like I have a very... very strong,
a very shy butthole.
Imaginative mind, and I just imagine you just really cleaning out,
just really getting in there.
Yeah,
all right.
But I've done it too.
That's great.
I've done it.
How are you, Matthew?
I think I'm good. You know, I feel all right. Feel pretty good.
Yeah.
We said good like 50 times right
good,
now.
Good. Cool.
We're probably not good if we're doing that.
If you have to literally say the word "I'm doing well," good.
I'm doing good.
50 times.
Pretty good.
It's not going good.
I mean, I'm not really doing much of anything. Like, I'm still sitting at home on my ass. Still playing video games. I've been streaming more. Which came to your house finally. You finally came to my house. You brought your spawn.
Yeah, where's the leftover turkey?
They behaved themselves.
Except my house.
I was impressed.
You said you'd bring it. You said it'd be like 18 pounds.
It is. There's so much turkey.
It was too much turkey for four people, dude.
It's too much turkey for 40 people.
You took your kids, Jorge?
Yeah.
Was the canyon explorable?
Oh, fuck off.
The canyon was not explorable. No, he looked and he's like,
I could have told him that.
He's like, these stairs are more.
Well, the canyon itself is fine. It's just getting down there is the problem.
So non-explorable.
And then we got his five-year-old doing weights on the pulley system.
Yeah, she was good.
That was pretty good.
That's pretty.
And then I got to hang out with Rhett too. I got to hang out with both of you outside of work.
This is as close to work as you're getting.
Yeah, right. It feels like it's the only place I have to be.
Fuck, I have to dock 6 hours, two movies, and 2 hours recording this week.
And I came over to George's house twice this week.
Oh, that's right, for Thanksgiving.
For Thanksgiving, and then I left before there was any food.
Yeah, that was sad.
And then I came over and we played a cool little board game.
Oh yeah. Okay, bye.
Yeah, tell everybody how smart I am. Tell everyone how smart. He's gonna tell you how smart I am.
So we played these games. Ronnie's mom gave them to us for last Christmas. They're basically a escape room card game.
In a skedet room.
It sounds like kind of a shitty concept, but in practice, it's actually really cool. And the sort of like the highbrow concept of it is you can only play the game once. You basically destroy the game as you play it.
Yeah.
So it's essentially trash when you're done. And I like that aspect of it, that you only play it once, and if you lose, you lose.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like that too. And I also like how smart I am.
What do you mean destroy the game as you play?
So there's parts, and I don't want to like spoil it in case you're going to fucking look it up, but there's literally parts of the cards.
It's kind
of
like if you destroy my Crom as you suck it.
I mean, that would be a whole...
destroy my Crom?
Aside from being bad for the environment.
I'm going to have to edit that out.
Why would you edit that?
Just kidding.
You destroy my Crom?
Aside from being bad for the environment, there's nothing really bad about it.
That's what I needed right now.
No. So like there's actual cards that you cut up and tear as you're playing. It's a cool concept.
It was fun. It's like just a bunch of like little brain teaser riddle kind of things, and you're supposed to work together to do it.
He doesn't like games. That's right.
Yeah.
But that's a broad generalization. It's true, though.
It's 100% fact.
I don't like games.
You just don't like having fun.
That's my game.
He likes Monopoly, though. I will say that about that.
Of course you would. Of all the fucking games in the world, the fantastic game.
There Will Be Blood, the game, motherfucker. Like, it's time.
Yeah.
It's time.
We had a game.
I finally get serious about money on that game.
Bro, we had a game, I think, that went on like for 5 hours, dude. And
everyone wants to quit.
I'm sorry. Hi, Sophia. But this is pre you, like years ago. You were with Kathy at the time.
No, this is high school.
No.
Oh, you're talking about that one.
Yeah.
That one. The fact that your Monopoly games can be like
we played for so long. It was like hour five. It was fucking midnight. And Kathy was like, dude, I just want to go home. And Rhett's like, no.
Well, no.
And dude,
well, guys get this way about a fucking football game. I'm going to do it about Monopoly. Why? Because fucking more guys do it, so it's accept. Fuck that.
Red's like, why? Because this motherfucker can't pay the rent for landing on Park Place?
Yeah, all you fucking guys want to quit just because it's midnight? Fuck that. It's because I'm winning.
Man, funk that.
Winning.
Yeah, winning.
I went over here. I went over there.
I'm winning. Duh. Yeah. I think they're up on Amazon, and I think they're like $10 a pop, so they're pretty cheap. You're not breaking the bank by playing these fuckers.
It was fun.
Fuck you. I was a little bit hammered by that point, so I wasn't contributing much. But
I got good brains.
Ronnie
smarts.
And I had played.
Oh, you got
one.
Hammered, dude? Why?
What a surprise! What a surprise,
dude, bro! Like fucking dude, getting hammered.
George got hammered again. What a fucking surprise, bro! How does he even hold Hella down a tie. Job and have a Hella wife tie. And have a family.
Bro, you really shouldn't drink. It's a nasty habit.
I know, dude. It's keeping me down all this time in my career. It's fucked me up real bad.
It's depressing you, bro. It sucks, bro. There we go.
But Matt is smart because...
No, he in this particular game, he's very good at thinking around corners.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Outside of the box. Everybody's like, your brain is too fucking dumb. Mm-hmm. You think of all this dumb shit.
Nope, and I'm nobody,
like,
but nobody, sometimes... Nobody
your
was,
brain is too fucking dumb.
You said that in the missed episode. You're like, think on, dummy. And I'm like, I think about this. This is what had happened. That kid is the fucking reason for all of this. And then they murked him and it ended. And you're like, you're so dumb.
It's just like brain so scan dumb. Where you fucking thought the dog was the fucking dude.
Yeah,
so he is.
He does.
I'm just
this.
On a
this
different is, frequency.
This is what he does.
I'm on a different frequency.
I wasn't even around for that.
Y'all.
And I heard that and was like, that's fucking your views.
Listen to the episode, watch the movie. You'll be like, holy shit, the dog is trickster.
Who gives a fuck?
The other thing is one person.
It's a whole component of the movie.
Matthew,
the film is like on a whole
this
other
guy,
level.
The deal with Matthew is that like one person will like jokingly agree with him.
No,
and
it's
he's
not
like,
jokingly.
Yeah, dude, yeah. See?
There's a
like,
coalition.
That's the thing.
There's a coalition that will build of people who have like been behind this idea for a long time, and now they have a champion that they can rally behind.
A champion with
a platform and a voice.
A champion, no less. Wow.
Someone to champion their cause.
Yes. The dog is Trickster.
So you're like Trump of the dog is Trickster. You're like an opportunist, populist, fucking dude.
I mean, like, no. Because he makes shit up. I'm speaking truth. That's what I'm doing.
So you were good at thinking around outside of the box.
Yeah.
Anywho, the game is called Exit the Game by this company called Cosmos.
Exit the Warrior today's.
And they have a bunch of different skill levels and a bunch of different scenarios that you can play.
Yeah, super fun. Like a German company. So
it's about 2 hours. It's about 2 hours. and real fun.
Speaking of about 2 hours, I played another fun game.
Speaking about 2 hours, we fucking watched Motel Hell, and it was fucking too long.
It was almost 2 hours. I played a game on Steam called Love Sam. It's like $3, $4. Yeah, hail King Sam. I do love Sam. Sam, ooh, have you seen that cute smile of his? Anyway. So I got distracted for a minute. I was playing this game called Love Sam, and it's I saw that it was compared to PT, that game that was supposed to be the new Silent Hill. And it's similar in the fact that you're in a singular room and you are kind of
singular room.
Yeah. I mean, you're in,
why would you,
as opposed to a room, a triangular room, a house, a single room. I mean, like a room like this,
a tubular room,
a single room of a larger building. Assuming
now you're just getting high on your own crom now.
I think you might be getting high on my secondhand smoke.
A singular room.
But yeah,
I'm in. I'm waiting for you to actually get to the point.
You're trapped in this room, and there's a diary, and reading the diary is the only way to progress. And so as you're reading the diary, things start happening, like really spooky things, and it's very reading heavy, but it lasts about 2 hours, and the story goes in places where you don't really think it's going to go. It was a fun little twist. And I think there's like three endings, and the game saves like right before you make the final decisions to get you into those endings.
So you can just replay it again.
Yeah.
That's
so like
pretty cool.
I did. And the ending that I originally got, I'll just say that it honestly felt really cathartic. Like, I had been so tense through so much of this game getting this ending really felt like a weight off my own shoulders.
It's like a microcosm of 2020.
It felt like when your sphincter just loosens.
It was
right after taking a massive shit.
It felt like when you feel like you're going to have to explode out of your ass and you're rushing home and you get and sit on the toilet as it all comes rushing out.
Yeah, you make it on time.
That's what it felt like. It felt like I was so tense. It's true. That I was just going to explode. And then like when I got that release at the end, it just felt like so well earned,
like,
and well deserved.
Jesus.
Which like the game only takes like, I died a handful of times cause I was trying to figure shit out. And
what kind of game is it? It's like a first person, like,
It's first person. You can use a controller, a keyboard and mouse, and you're just like walking around this room. Like basically you're sitting in a chair reading, and then you'll get up. Like there's a part where you're reading this girl's diary, and it's like, I wish that like I could just walk up to his door. Like I'd walk by his building, and I wish that like I could just go up to his door and knock. And then you turn the page and it says knock knock, and then you hear a boom boom on the door behind you. And it's like, I read an interview with the creator where she said that she didn't want to do jump scares because jump scares are ineffective and
you were like, yes,
cheaply earned. She said, I believe in dread scares where like it doesn't come as a reaction. It comes from knowing that in order to progress, you have to push yourself to do something that you don't want to do, whether it's going and exploring that door where the loud noise came from,
or eating your own crumb
in Rhett's case.
Yeah. So
right,
like,
right, all right, right.
And it was really effective, right, you know, right. Like there was a few like little jump scares, but it was a real fun game.
Have you ever heard of Doki Doki Literature Club?
Yes, I played it.
Have you played? Oh, okay, I was going to say, so I think that you should run through that, but you've already played it.
It's a little bit similar, a little bit. But yeah, it's good. John from Dread Central hopped in at the end of the stream, and just based off of what he saw, he's like, man, this is really good. I want to check this out. And
there was some new Dead by Daylight content that came out recently. Yes,
dude. Holy shit. That's so fun. So Dead by Daylight, just today, a new killer came out called The Twins, which is like a older woman, and she's got her brother inside of her chest, almost like Kuato. And the brother can jump out like a little ghoulie and run around and attack people. But you can also like Brazilian jiu-jitsu kick him in the face. And it's just like really fun. And he like dives across the screen and screeches like Rhett.
And, so like a better basket case.
Kind of like basket case with legs, you know.
Better basket
pace. Like because he can run around.
Basket pace? Basket pace.
Basket face. And
market
then,
basket.
And then they reworked two of the older maps and they look amazing. So I mean, it's Dead by Daylight, so that's
great.
Yeah,
they revamped the graphics recently, right?
Yeah, on a handful of the maps. They just did Ormond, which is like the ski resort level, and then they did the auto wrecking yard. And it looks so much better. Like it looks just like a completely different game, and it makes it so much more fun to play. And I mean, if you can't tell by the fact that I'm playing it all day, every day.
You're still
like,
playing it. I mean, it's what, 2 years now?
4 years.
4 years?
Jeez. They just had their 4-year anniversary a few months ago. But
that's crazy.
Yeah. And then I only watched one movie other than movies we're reviewing this week. And it's a movie called Conan the Barbarian. That movie's fucking awful.
You're fucking...
I don't understand.
Matthew.
You're actually telling me my brain is dumb?
No.
I'm not saying your brain is dumb,
but you are fucked in your head.
No, dude. This movie is so fucking boring,
dude.
It's like I'm sitting there. It's like everything in this movie is too long. Literally everything is too long. There's just like 5 minute scenes where they're just in this movie, staring at each other.
My actual erection watching this film.
Exactly.
I was like beyond
You don't know
bored.
How fucking... My heart sank. So mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. When you fucking... I look down and see this text in the middle of the night. When does Conan get fucking good?
Yeah.
Because I suck dicks and I'm not enjoying myself. I'm straight up having a good time watching Arnold fucking Schwarzenegger play a barbarian.
He's like, he's in the Temple of Set and I don't understand... Boring, what the point of it all? And
he's like, he's standing there.
This movie is fucking
and
dumb.
And it's like... He gets fucking taken as a kid, and then he walks around in circles for 20 years, and suddenly he's buff as fuck, and then he's just like,
he's done
with this, and then he leaves, and it's just fucks every woman he meets. He's just like, I'm gonna fuck, and it's the most like boring fucking
sex.
This is
Matt Smith. He works out and fucks women, and you're pissed.
He doesn't
about even this.
One. He doesn't work out.
He does work
and
out.
The sex is boring, dude.
Dude,
it's
he
like,
pushed a fucking wheel by himself. All those other motherfuckers died.
Okay, cool. Well, fuck, dude. He pushed a wheel.
Excuse
awesome.
You. He's a fucking
this
gladiator.
This shit is straight blasphemy.
I turned this shit off.
It set. I said it in text. I'll say it here so people don't think we're absolute fucking retards. Okay, I'm gonna use the word. Okay. This fucking movie set the standard for dark fantasy for the entire decade.
Oh, you mean a genre that I don't watch? I don't care about.
He doesn't enjoy the genre. Oh, he from doesn't the care. Get-go.
Okay, but meanwhile, Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah,
dark fantasy with some goofy ass fucking martial arts.
He's got you there.
And you know what I've said about Big Trouble in Little China time and time again? If I watched it for the first time at this age, I would probably think it was dumb.
There it is. Okay. If you grew up like, with Conan the Barbarian, what would you think?
I can't say because I don't know.
You can't say.
But that's the thing.
You can say.
I didn't watch. No, because I didn't watch any of those type of movies.
You're just stuck on your own views.
Yeah.
You have to get
to them with Conan before they settle into their views.
That's the problem. I settle into my views without
so
watching.
So you wouldn't enjoy Red Sonja and you probably wouldn't enjoy
fucking... I don't know
fucking...
what Red Sonja is.
Red Sonja is a spinoff of Conan.
Probably.
Or Lady Hawk.
Conan the Destroyer is a sequel.
I mean, okay, look. Maybe Conan the Destroyer is not as
good as the first one.
Okay. Well,
you'll probably like it better
maybe
just
it flows.
Because.
No,
just
I mean,
because
like,
that's
I was,
how you are.
I was just bored. I didn't care.
You did like
even,
when he punched a camel, though, correct?
Yes. Yes. Okay, that.
What do you want?
That I
What do you
love.
Want from
that
me?
That I
what
love.
What do you want?
And when he yeeted that bitch into the fire, I'm like, okay, that's good.
That's fucking great. He was fucking there having sex, and then he's like, fuck this. He throws her in a fire. fire.
Everything else other than those two things, I'm like, okay, whatever. And it was the two funny bits that got me.
You're just high on your own crumb.
Am I? Yeah. I mean, sometimes, but not this time.
All right. Well, anywho, Riggedy Rhett, what'd you watch?
I watched
a little movie called
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Let me get to the rewatches first. I Heart Huckabees.
I don't like that movie.
What do you think? When's the last time you watched it?
I don't like
it?
That movie.
Yeah. I used to love the movie. And it's actually, I hadn't watched it in a good five years.
It's aged poorly.
I thought it aged worse last time I watched it. I still think it's an interesting film. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting little
literally mid, only interesting
mid-00s film. But it has its moments. It has other moments that it used to be funny to me that are now very cloying and very, very like, okay, stop.
Mm. When was the last time you watched Conan?
But it was fun. I watched that shit out of that movie, though. Conan the Barbarian was like 3 years ago. Mm. And I get, look, it's 1980.
Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to say 82.
2020.
Is it 82?
I think it was 80.
I could see how you would think
80 or 82.
It has some slowness here and there, perhaps to today's standards, perhaps. But not.
Mayhaps.
To the days of high adventure, and then it goes into that badass fucking score, and then fucking James Earl Jones is chopping off his white bitch's mom's head and shit. Like, are you kidding me? And they got the snake thing, and they got like, yeah, dude. Like, I don't know. I saw it 3 years ago. Yeah, it was tight. It was tight.
Okay.
So,
can you? What else did I watch? Huckabees is a.
I don't know about that. I watched a film called Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Fucking great.
You know what? That and Ferris Bueller, and we watched this Thanksgiving Day because, like, as you guys may know, I don't like you guys being Matt.
Oh, he doesn't like us guys.
I don't. I like them sometimes. No, I love these guys, but. I fucking hate Thanksgiving. I hate it. I think it sucks dicks. I think that
you said some very unflattering things about my grandmother's pie.
Yeah, well, sorry.
How dare you, sir?
You're saying inflammatory things about sucking dick, by the way.
I know. Always. And I shouldn't.
You said that Thanksgiving sucks dicks, and to me, I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah.
So sucking dick and pecan pie?
It's good.
It's you enjoy it.
So I was being a dick to you guys via text, I think, intermittently on Thanksgiving.
I didn't give a shit. I was drunk.
Oh, cool.
What
cool.
A surprise, Jorge. Anyway, drunk.
The way I get festive on Thanksgiving is like most things, my festiveness comes fucking from films and movies and Plants and Zombies. Plants versus Zombies is a fantastic
The Return.
No, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is like my favorite John Hughes movie besides Ferris Bueller, probably, I'd have to say.
Yeah, Ferris Bueller is the one.
It's the one.
You know, yeah. I watched it, maybe
which?
Ferris Bueller, maybe.
Don't you dare. Don't do it.
When was the last time you saw it? This is not what you do, man.
No, don't do it.
When was the last time you saw it?
For real? Oh my God. Don't do it.
Not 2 years.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, I didn't like it as much as I used to.
Don't do it.
Well, dude, why would? I mean, I've seen it probably 100 times by now.
No, but I haven't. Like, that's the thing. I watched it again, and I'm like, okay, yeah. I think maybe just, like, the jokes wore off or the appeal wore off.
You didn't like that he sang Donka Shang and didn't wrestle or something. I get it. I know.
No, I like that he sang Twist and Shout. That was cool.
What?
It's good stuff.
Yeah, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is still fucking great.
Dude, save
that.
Just let it pass.
I said save Ferris.
I mean, like, yeah, we got save Ferris out of it.
We got a lot more out of it.
The fourth wall breaking in that movie is...
Okay, that's cool.
You're fucked in your fucking head.
Let's not talk about Rooney, the principal.
Oh, how he's a pedophile? He's a
pedophile.
Well.
Yeah, that gives a whole new context to that movie. How obsessed he was with Ferris.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what? Leave fucking Edward Rooney alone. Leave him out of this conversation. I regret bringing him into it. But Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is still great. You know who had not seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
I'm guessing Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
That does not surprise me. That doesn't seem like
it. It surprised me because I'm like, dude. But then it's like, Rhett, you are white. So this was probably not standard viewing.
Rhett. You do have a giant poster of Frida Kahlo in your house now. So, you know,
what?
understand.
I don't have that, do I?
Oh. You might as well.
And then we watched Rocky Balboa, 2006.
That's a good flick.
That movie, that has not aged poorly. In fact, it's better than the last time I watched it.
That's a good flick.
It fucking holds up good. That movie, good. And a really good kind of post-Thanksgiving film, too.
Wait, did you watch this with the new sound system?
I did. And I had it way fucking up.
Yeah.
And it is a little much for the that living room, by the way. I don't know.
You just got to move it around, dude. You got to move it to another room.
You
got to move away from your speaker.
It has to go against the wall wherever it's going.
You got to rearrange that fucking living room.
It was fucking great for me, though. I get right into the nerve of autism right there. I just start drooling and shit. And then fucking, I knew this would be a Sophia movie.
I got a remote for you, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I need that shit.
Oh, thank you.
I knew this would be a Sophia film when I showed it to her finally. And I was trying to sell her on it for a while, but I didn't push too hard. But then she saw something on the internet. She said, I want to watch this. And it was Pan's Labyrinth.
And Labyrinth?
Pan's Labyrinth is fucking a fuck.
It's a fuck? Yep, sure it's a is. Fuck.
I hadn't seen that movie. Probably.
Matt does not like that film.
I don't want to go into that yet. The movie's better than it was 5 years ago when I last saw it.
It's so good.
It's so fucking good. I always thought it was
a low bar anyway.
No.
Fuck you, man.
No. It's the same reason. I got a lot more out of the thematic stuff.
It's the same reason you don't like Conan the Barbarian. You don't like fantasy.
No. Well,
don't even say that.
I don't like it because they pitched it as one thing. It wasn't. And then I see
you get so caught up in this shit where the trailer told me it was going to be a horror film.
Yeah, because I went in there expecting something and then I watched it and my viewing experience was tainted.
And it was much better than what they were pitching it as.
Also, it's slow and it's just not something I'm into. Dude, it's like, ooh. War.
Friday the 13th, part one. What do you think of Friday the 13th, part one?
Tits, blood, and gore. That's what I want. Shut up and give it to me. Don't teach me a lesson. Don't take a moral high ground.
No. Matt, the thing is,
show me your
is
tits.
You say this. You say
there's
this
more
about,
tits in Pat's Labyrinth, probably.
You no, say this not. About yourself, dude.
There's nary a nipple.
You say this about yourself. Tits. You're like, I just want tits, blood, and gore. And then you go
as long as it's good.
And then you go on these expansive fucking like treatises about goddamn.
Bro, I don't know what that word means. What's a treatises, Rhett? Do you
hear how he uses it in the fucking sentence? Figure it out.
I'm assuming it's rant, but it's then a, I'm questioning why
you
he
go
went
on these
just,
things. Just put things. Same shit.
On these D's.
On these D's.
And you know,
he's right though. What the
Who's
fuck,
right?
man?
I'm right. You're
no,
right.
This motherfucker over here. He's right. He's right. Why is Friday the 13th not boring?
Because it wasn't boring.
Because it's
There we go. Thank you. We got it on record.
The first one is boring. I literally said that on the show last month.
I don't know, man. I know when the last time you watched it and you were still bored.
Yeah. Ollie got me to watch it again.
It like bums me out, man, because it's that is literally one of my favorite movies.
It's not one of my favorites, but it's one of the best I've probably seen this century, dude. I think. Yeah.
El Laberinto del Fauno.
Don't get it.
And then it was just all downhill
for
Guillermo del Toro.
She refuses to harm an innocent. So because of that, she has to die. But that's like the theme, like, are you willing to die because you don't want to harm other people to survive? And if you're not, you have to die. And that's the labyrinth. Yep. Like the labyrinth of navigating all that bullshit. I didn't get that the previous
year. It's so freaking good. And the fact that it's in the middle of this war story, it's just like, you've got this.
And that's the most horrific part.
You've got these fantasy elements juxtaposed with these horrific war elements.
Also, it was wonderful to see Antifa out in the forest in this film. Because that's really what they were.
Basically, right? And then you get this motherfucker smashing bottles on homeboy's face, and I'm like, there's some horrific stuff happening.
Well, and also, that's the thing. Does it serve a purpose? Yeah, it moves the story forward because character is action. So we know exactly what type of guy this guy is now.
Yeah.
We have a pure understanding of what fascism in its purest form would do to people because he doesn't get in trouble for that. He gets rewarded for that. And you develop a taste for it because, it's necessary. It's necessary to send clear messages. Anyway, yeah, it's a great fucking movie.
Yep.
I agree
with it, keeping it 100.
Keep it 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Raw from 2015.
Raw!
Matt said he does not. He said
quote unquote, it was bad.
It was bad. I think we did that.
That was the cannibal one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't like
the
that.
The cannibal coming of age story.
We did not like that.
I really, 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 really liked this movie.
Well, thought you it was would.
Very effective.
You would.
Well, you would now, probably.
No, I wouldn't.
But you were like too drunk back then.
No, I wouldn't. That movie came out like 3 years ago.
It came out in 2015. That's five.
5 years?
No,
ago.
Okay, so it says 2015.
It came out 2016, so that's 4 years.
It came out like 2017.
It came out like 2000.
It came out 2020.
It came out whenever we did the episode. It came out
when you saw Independence Day for the first time in
1994. Yeah. Was it 93?
96.
I think it was 94.
But
96 was a
I really
good
enjoyed
year.
The movie. I thought the performances were great. I didn't mind the heightened reality because some of it's like, is this supposed to be hyper realistic or not?
Just wait till we talk about hyper reality in a few minutes.
Oh, I'll talk to you about hyper reality. And then I like the thematic stuff of her, like, you know, awakening to her sexual urges and whatnot, coinciding with her devouring flesh, and that the only people who understand are her sister and her mother. And
I really enjoy her sexual awakening.
Meaning I liked the
with my significant lover.
I thought it was really well done. In fact, it was really well done.
I thought those moments of her coming to her own sexuality.
Really well shot. I thought it was kind of in search of an ending, but then the last...
Episode 135, there you go.
So many episodes ago, my God.
Man. The last scene with the father clarified its intentions. The other film I watched is a newer horror film. It's called His House. And
in the middle of the street.
And this His House film is a very good house. It's a very good house that he's built.
I mean, it's in the sense that it's a place to live.
It's no the house that Jack built. That's
no,
for sure.
But it's on Netflix. And it's it revolves around Sudanese refugees, and it's it kind of like this whole different spin on the old ghost story thing. But through the lens of these Sudanese refugees who have been housed in a, you know, very poor housing development in, I believe it's London. In any case, they're trying to adjust to...
Hello, governor!
They're trying to adjust to life there, and the male is very eager to do so, but...
The male?
The male, yes. There's a male and a female.
He's very eager to
I don't know his name. The female is not as eager to do so, right? She would like to live authentically, even if they do live in this new place. Anyway, It's a debut feature from the director, and I thought it was really fucking great. It has some great thematic stuff. I did feel, though, like it's almost kind of trying to do jumble too many things at once. Like there's a lot of topical stuff. There's a lot of cultural stuff. And there's a lot of personal story between the two leads. The two leads do fantastic jobs, though. I thought the ending was satisfying, but I thought it made perfect sense, I should say, thematically. But it didn't leave me as satisfied as I don't know where I wanted it to go. But how'd you feel about the ending, Matt?
I mean, I liked it. I thought the ending was one of the strongest parts of the whole movie.
Because they're accepting it now?
Unfortunately, yeah, you can't really talk about it because it's pretty spoilery.
Spoilery, yeah.
But I really like what it did, what it had to say, and how it said it.
The scares were pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, those, like... I don't even think about those too much. Like,
that's what I mean. They're almost secondary.
It's because, like, for me, everything else was just really tense. Like the environment of the house, like knowing what's even going on, because you start thinking all this supernatural stuff, and then the dynamic between the husband and wife, like, just gets more and more tense, like as the movie goes on. And yeah, I like that. I like that quite a bit.
Cool.
And then so like when it all comes together, it's like, oh shit. Like I didn't see that. That all makes perfect sense. And that's
made a lot more sense.
I think I told Alia that it felt really heavy. Like it's just one of those movies where you kind of got to take a second and you're like, damn.
When the mom's chasing the bus and shit.
Like yeah, yeah. Shit. Like that.
That's not shit. Pretty good.
No, that was that. Yeah. I wish we could talk about that more.
Well, we could always do episodes on new films.
Yeah, that's like, no.
We got a 6 week
six week clit.
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Six inch clit.
Anything else?
That's it this week.
Other than those two movies, I watched. We watched The Mandalorian. So it has introduced Ahsoka, which is kind of fucking pretty nice. Good.
She was tight in Clone Wars.
She's tight in The Mandalorian.
Did I just spoil? Oh. No. I knew she was coming.
Okay.
The last one I saw was three. The one where Sasha Banks debuts.
Sasha Banks was in this?
Yeah.
No.
She's one of the three other.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. I was thinking of the wrong Sasha. I was thinking Sasha Gray.
Oh, no.
God. I was like, when did if I see only. Her?
God, yeah, that suit would be dummy thick in the back.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Anywho, yeah. Nothing new.
Yeah,
nothing
boy.
Yeah, boy. Didn't watch shit. Any news we should get to, Matthew?
Rhett sent me a news that was quite interesting. Peter Dinklage is going to play the Toxic Crusader or Toxic Avenger. Toxic Avenger in the Troma reboot of the Toxic Avenger.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not sure if it's a Troma reboot.
It has. I think
Legendary acquired the film rights.
I think you're right.
So I think it's like a big Hollywood production. Deal.
It's a big fucking deal.
It's being produced by Legendary. It looks like it is a Troma reboot. Fuck.
Okay, so they're going to involve them in the thing. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
It's being directed by Macon Blair. I know that name. I don't remember why, though.
Me either.
But, yeah, I mean, that's... I think that could be really cool because Peter Dinklage does comedy like really well, but he's also a really great actor altogether.
Macon Blair did I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore.
There you go.
Which I've heard of. I haven't watched.
That was a good, I think it was a movie. It was a movie with Elijah Wood.
Good. Well, I liked it. Elijah Wood.
It was a dark comedy for sure.
Involvement by proximity is a good sign.
Yeah. And the funny thing is the article I'd seen said, somebody said the only other person I would want to see play the Toxic Avenger would be Elijah Wood.
And I would like to see Sarah Jessica Parker play the Toxic Avenger. You know, maybe shave her head bald and then use no makeup. Wow.
They would have to like block half of her face.
That's
though.
Another one-star review. Someone hears that. I love Sex and the City. Fuck this show. Jesus Christ.
Wow. I just don't even. Do you think the demographic for Sex and the City at all coincides with who goes there?
Who knows?
Probably. I don't know. Probably.
Well, obviously, at least one person. We got a no-star review for fucking making fun of Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, that image is actually working pretty well in my head. They should just need a speech coach to do some interesting stuff with the way
she'd talks. Actually have to come up a little bit.
Yeah. Like Daniel Day-Lewis had to go down to play Daniel Plainview because he's got the Irish voice that's up like two octaves. She'd have to drop like four octaves. But she could do it. She's a good actress. I've seen Hocus Pocus. She's great.
Hocus Pocus?
Great fucking actress.
Jesus Christ. Anything else, Matthew?
Shit. There's going to be a 4K uncut uncensored version of a Serbian film. So that's fun. God. You could see a baby rape in 4K.
Why do you need a 4K Serbian film?
If you're gonna watch baby rape,
I mean, why might as well?
It might as well be in 4K.
I need more pixels.
Yeah, 4K on a 70-inch screen.
I can't make out his fingernail.
Clive Barker is getting the rights to Hellraiser back. apparently, there's some kind of legal thing in the U.S. where after 35 years,
so it'll be just as bad as it was the fourth time.
Well, no, he only gets rights to the first one and the script and stuff like that. So, like, he can do new stuff with it, I guess, or he can.
Boy, I can't wait.
Put out exclusive content or something like that.
Frick me.
That's cool. I found out that the guys who did Killer Clowns from Outer Space,
the Kyodos brothers.
Kyodo brothers, thank you. They have a stop motion holiday show on Netflix called
Alien Xmas.
There you go.
Oh, well, I think the X is for
it is
Christ.
It's for Christ.
X-nay on the Christ.
It's for straight edge. It's a straight edge Christmas.
Ice cray would be the right way to say that.
And, shut that down, Brent.
Woo! That was funny. Wait till you see that later. Okay.
Yeah, and that's.
Oh, did it? Were you throwing a filter on that bitch?
Yeah, that was good.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and that's it.
Oh, Jesus Christ! All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back to talk about a movie. Bye.
$100 on a fucking microphone. So there you go. Patreon helps with that shit. What, did it break? Did you fuck it up?
Keep going.
What happened?
Just keep going.
Dude, bro, fuck.
Yeah, dude, bro. Patreon.com/WhoGoesTherePodcast. Help us continue doing this show, and you get cool stuff in return, like exclusive content, bonus episodes, exclusive merchandise. We did an episode on Motel Hell.
Yeah, well, did we? Really?
Right before this.
We did.
It's fun stuff.
Yeah.
So hit it, patreon.com/WhoGoesTherePodcast.
Yeah, let Matt buy another mic.
Yeah, I needed one.
You did need one.
The one I was using was 7.5 years old. It was the mic that we bought to do this podcast.
That's true.
When we had one microphone sitting in the middle of the room.
For 80 people.
Six people yelling at it. Yeah,
it was bad.
That microphone did its job. Did it a lot.
Did do it a lot, man. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Okie dokie. I'm going to take a quick moment to look up this film.
That's what he does.
It's part of the thing. It's the way it should be.
He's had all that time to do it.
It is the way. George, keep playing footsie. That's not me, homie.
It's your table. You're
playing footsie with yourself. I'm playing
footsie with the table.
You're playing footsie with your damn self. Yeah. We watched 2020's Possessor, directed and written by Brandon Cronenberg, starring Gabrielle Graham, Haneke Talbot, Matthew Garlick, and that's
I love him. I love Garlick.
Garlick.
Daniel Park, Andrea Riseborough, Jennifer Jason Lee, Grant Aleniak, Rachel Crawford, Rosif Sutherland, Gage Graham,
Fuck yeah, some Eurotrash names.
Arbunot.
Some fucking Norwegian fucks.
Arbunot is this child's name. Arbuthnot. Yikes. Well, I know what Matt thinks. Rhett, what'd you think of Possessor?
You know what Matt thinks?
Yep.
You guys did this already? I know what's going on.
Did we do this already?
This is what you do.
What do we do?
Why don't you just tell us what you thought of the movie?
I'm prepared to get fucking. I was prepared for like a Waterloo type scenario. Okay,
Waterloo.
So I want you to know
this is a Watergate type scenario.
I want to preface this by saying when I saw Antiviral, when I saw Brandon Cronenberg's previous
Antiviral
film,
is great.
Well, see, I did not think it was great. And I was a little miffed that he was like going to try to do.
He was a little teed off.
I was a little like, why is Brandon Cronenberg going to try to be his dad like this much?
More like Daniel Cronenberg.
By be his dad, you mean blow his dad, right?
And so I wasn't like waiting, like, oh, I can't wait to see what Brandon Cronenberg does next. And it's been a few years. My mind changed with this film, and I think this film is very well shot. Is very well acted. It deals with some really fucking good ideas about identity, about how malleable it is, about whether or not like there is an actual self or if it's just something, it's just like a bunch of chemicals and shit swirling together. And then you start acting a certain way because of a stimulus and a response. I think it talks a lot about people's motives and their subconscious motives and where the stuff really comes from. It makes interesting parallels with what a movie does when you're watching it. For instance, when you're watching a film, it's fucking hacking your central nervous system and you're invested in the film. It says a lot about a lot of shit. And
I feel like there's a huge butt coming here.
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to stop right there.
No. And then it has some very, 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 very nice spots of gore, which are there for a reason. Yeah, they're there for a reason. because the character has developed a taste where she wants to do things. She's bored by regular life. So yeah. And it's one of my favorites in the genre of this year, easily. And also, I love that it had no... This is not a jokey film. This is not fucking... I mean, there are plenty of films. We just watched Motel Hell. That was funny and cute. And they're planting people.
You're funny and cute.
And Mutant Blast is cute. And this is not. And this is not... This is not like, you know... And then the ending of this film is fucking ghastly, like what it's saying about the character and her motivations. And I thought it leaves a lot. I've seen it twice. Second time I got more out of it thematically than the first time, which I saw it at a drive-in, which is interesting. And I'll leave it there. It's really well shot, very stylistic. I love the shots of the city that they would interject here and then when they would, like, the camera would start tilting. And basically, Brandon Cronenberg, I think, is really coming into his own. I'm really excited to do what he does, see what he does next.
Do what he does.
And yeah, that's right. What I think.
Nice and succinct.
Yeah, as per usual with Rhett. Matthew?
Bro, it's crazy. It's crazy that after 2 years, Rhett still has no idea what kind of movies I like.
Conan the Barbarian.
He has told me...
RoboCop.
You would like Possessor. You're gonna like, dude. You're gonna like Possessor.
I didn't say
you're
that.
Gonna like it, that's dude. Not what I you're said. Gonna you're gonna like this movie. You're gonna like this movie.
I'm glad we're that's gonna make Rhett. This all about you and what you like.
That's Rhett. Yeah. So I watched this movie. I did not like this movie.
I didn't say you would like it. I think you might like it. More
not
than
only
you think.
Did I not like this movie, I did not care at all. The first 5 minutes are cool, and then there's like a handful of nudity over 90 boring fucking minutes and then 10 good minutes at the end.
You know what? We'll talk about it a little bit more, but I can't think that a lot of the apathetic feelings you get towards this movie aren't intentional.
Why would they be intentional?
I think that you're...
You knew I liked it, and his last name is Cronenberg, not it. And that's enough for you.
No, that's not it. Like, I'm sitting here, and I'm watching this movie, and right away... To me, there's nothing at stake. It's just a job. She's just doing a job. It's like, okay, here's this guy. We're not supposed to care about him for any reason. He's just a target. And like instantly we're going into this. I don't care about her. I don't care about him. I really don't care what happens to any of them. And then it's just like this.
It's not a character piece
thing where she's just living his life and like, okay, that's cool. Well,
you're the character, meaning like, what are your intentions? Like, where is yourself? Are you always in control or is there something else going on? And where can you even locate who you are?
So it's existential stuff.
Of course. Well, it's about consciousness. Yeah.
I
mean,
I don't know that I like this movie. I had trouble getting through portions of it because I think what they're trying to do with like the tech side of it was a little bit jarring and kind of cloying to me. You know, you've got this like Google-esque company that is like, we're going to have you on curtains today. And I go, okay, who cares? Like, yeah. I don't care about any of this stuff. Like, yeah, you're doing market research to know like what people have in their homes, to know who to market to, how to market to them. Those 20, 30 minutes of them like having homeboy in his workplace, I'm shockingly bored.
Yep.
Shockingly bored.
Okay. So what I got from that, there's a scene in there where so it's an interesting job he has because this stuff exists. They have people, it's marketing and collecting, you know, data, and it's people who cast themselves on the internet. And so they have people observe this. It's about voyeurism. Well,
I would tell you this though. The thing that's jarring about it is that in a society and in a reality where we have people that are able to literally mind leap into another person, we have to have a gaggle of fucking people watching videos where an algorithm wouldn't do the job 1 million times better.
Okay. The point.
I understand what they're trying to say. Go ahead. Sorry.
But besides the point that they're trying to say, I'm saying there's a scene where he's supposed to be doing a job, right? But she is controlling his body for the most part. So he's observing those people as his job. She's wait, in it. Hold wait, up. Wait, hold real, hold
I,
up.
I have,
hold
I have, up, I have a question up, to help myself understand. Oh. You said he's in. She's in control for the most part. She was in control the whole time until
no.
late. Till later, right? No,
she was the. I think the moment she got into Homeboy's body,
she was compromised.
We're super. We're super. In well, the yeah, we have
because yeah. there was the, already the. She, it wasn't like a good compatible.
What I'm trying to get to, right? We'll get to that, dude. Okay, like, that's a big point of the movie. Well, who's in what, control?
I think
when?
What,
we don't
I think
know.
What Matt's I'm, trying well, to what Matt's trying to get at is that like it, to explain and to explore that scene, you have to understand. That
not
she,
to get to what I'm saying.
She is not in control 100%.
My point is you have two people in there, right there, okay? You
right.
got two people in there. Where whoever's in control, regardless. I use the wrong word, if you want. Okay, so then you got his boss who's saying you're working at a snail's pace, hurry up. So he's observing them, right? And she's in there, and he's in there. And then she's got, you've got her fucking contact who's observing her fucking life signals and shit and the other thing, and she's interacting with her. And then meanwhile, his job is he's watching those people. So you've got people watching people, watching people, watching people, watching people, watching people, and then you're watching the fucking movie.
I just don't...
And that's talking okay. about what we're living... I know you don't care. That's I'm trying to finish the thought. Is that that's what that's not sci-fi. That's what we're living in right now.
I just don't think
and that's
that,
what's going on in your
I,
head,
I just
too.
Don't think... I just don't think the actual... So if the point is that it's just people watching people who are watching people no, who are watching ape. People, I just think
that's
that
not the point.
That
it was a scene.
That idea and that thing that they're trying to do or Cronenberg is trying to do is not that novel an idea. And in fact, I'm kind of like,
well, it's not well, novel. It's happening.
Okay. So if the idea so is what that if the idea isn't novel, okay. We've got to the point where the point of the movie isn't that interesting, right?
That's not what I said. I said well, it's not
well,
novel.
Well, I just mean like the plot of the movie isn't like, oh fuck, dude, they're doing some shit here. Like that's not the point.
It's not unlike something Christopher Nolan would come up with, but the thing is because he doesn't have the cash to make it into spectacle, he's more concerned with the psychological ramifications. So, for example, when their fucking identities start to merge, that is pretty crucial, actually, to me, because, like, you remember the scene where it gets all fucking expressionistic and he's wearing, like, the mask of her?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's
in her memories.
Those scenes in particular, I think when they start to deal with the personalities kind of like...
melding and breaking down of their own consciousness.
And the thing is, the unfortunate thing is that they literally, like, I keep saying they... But it's very much a Brandon Cronenberg film. When he's showing you, like, he's like, bro, do you get it? Like, it's wax and people are malleable yeah. and we're going to meld wax together. Do you get it? And I'm like, and
I
I'm
mean,
sit,
that's also
I'm,
the budget.
I'm
bro, even
here,
I got it.
I'm sitting here and I go, I understand what you're doing. And it's visually and,
I like the effect.
And aesthetically superb. You've got these fucking shots that I'm like, damn, son.
Yeah.
You've paid a lot of money for this camera and you've paid a lot of money for a cinematographer and you've paid a lot of money for a director of photography to get these scenes put together and you've given me fucking wax models melting, man. Like,
that's tight.
Like, I don't know.
I loved that they were
I had
like
zero expectations coming into this movie and same. I
No, you did have expectations.
I didn't. Well, the only expectation I had was that it was supposed to be fucked up, which is why we're doing it for Brave December. I will admit, seeing that first 5 minutes, that stabbing, that was an insanely brutal stabbing. And I'm like, okay, cool. We're in for a wild ride.
The attack of the dad was fucking brutal, too.
And then really yeah. nothing until that. So, like, nothing until... the final 10 minutes.
The thing, like most Cronenberg stuff, and I'll bring up the dad, everyone knows Cronenberg because it's body horror. But look, objectively, the thing that's repulsive about body horror is not because the body is repulsive, it's the psychology of it.
Right.
Like, nothing is repulsive about guts, okay? Like, not objectively.
It's just how they explore it.
It's how you explore the shit.
Yeah.
Like, The Fly is repulsive because how you explore it psychologically. So,
well, I think, and I think the biggest thing about body horror
Matt
is
literally yawning over there.
I think the biggest thing about a body horror is that you're the idea behind body horror is that you're supposed to imagine yourself going through these circumstances.
Yeah, which is why I find this movie interesting, because you do have we do have a self, supposedly, and it's like, do I? And where is it?
Well,
and
right, because you get to this whole thing where you're like, Am I just chemical reactions, like, you know, firing off synaptically and it doesn't.
Well, and also see, this movie it kind of says no. It kind of says no in this movie, because if so, how does that guy's consciousness start coming back up?
How does it boil back up?
How does it boil back up? And it's like, if the answer is, it's supposed to be optimistic. No, we do have a self. It's like, okay, guess what? That's bad news. That's scary, because that means other shit is going on. Well, see,
but it wasn't even...
That's fucking tight.
To me, it wasn't even just really like a thing with the self. It was just incompatibility, because when she went into him for the first time, they had said something about like... the compatibility is low. So you have like 3 days max and you have to do this and do that. So the implant that they had done into that guy
wasn't
very stable. So it wasn't even like his self was like fighting back. It was just that like,
well, the thing is the narrative,
was the wrong tool for the job.
I get what you're saying. The narrative they created for him, you know, because they had to make it look like a killing.
Like he was losing his
mind. Yeah. And so they had this narrative that he was under the dad's thumb and that this and this and this. And all of that narrative is accurate. Like that shit is there.
Yeah.
And so when she has to do these assassination attempts, number one, she enjoys killing by this point.
That's interesting. That's one of the things I wanted to explore with you guys. So there are moments when she seems to lose control, right?
Right.
Or do you think she's fully in control of what she's doing? She's getting
high. What kind of moments are you talking about?
So so she's given a gun to do this first assassination, right?
Okay. So when she stabs him.
But she goes for the knife and goes for multiple stabs on this poor fellow.
Because she wants to do
Do we think
she's in control?
That she has. So my thought was that she has tripped balls too many times in somebody else's head.
Absolutely.
That in her own consciousness, things are going fucky. So that's not necessarily... That's
why she's looking at her husband, imagining putting a knife in his neck.
That's not necessarily what she wants. It's just she's been infected by scumbags.
See,
Well, it could be cross-contamination.
That's what I was
thinking. It's also, she's been in another person's body, and that's a very sensual thing, right? Because she's in a body. Now, when you do something that the central nervous system does, you get what I'm saying? Like, she's like in someone else's body committing the murders, but it's a physical, like, it's muscle memory. Like, she wants nothing, like, being a housewife's not going to fucking cut it anymore, dude. And now, you get what I'm saying? And also, being in her own skin, that's what I really got the second time watching it. I
have no idea what you're saying.
When she went home,
she was almost disgusted with herself.
Well, I think. When she went home to be a mom, she had to practice her accent. She had to practice what she was going to say.
Yeah.
It's faker for her to be in her own body as a housewife than it is for her to jump into someone else's body and be a murderer at this point.
To learn other
people. See, and so I think she's totally in control. It's like a drug, you know. She had the gun. She could have taken the easy way, but it's like... Think of how many assassinations she's probably done at this point, you know, and knowing that there's essentially...
I think they said like 30. I think they threw out a number.
She said like Jennifer Jason Leigh, who was in...
That's her name.
Daddy Cronenberg's Existence, which is
I really totally like it.
Tonally is close to this to me.
Existence is a wacky fucking movie.
I don't think it's way better. But I know I don't say that lightly either, because I've watched a few Cronenberg's movies recently, and I think this actually holds a candle. But what the fuck was I going to say? Oh, she said that we've done extensive work with you to unlock certain parts of yourself. You know, and that comes full circle like with the end, which I don't want to go into directly unless we're going to do spoiler stuff.
Well, we already have.
But meaning that, like, making her a more effective killing machine, it was in this universe, it's not like most Hollywood movies where it's like, oh, we don't want them to get, like, sick-minded. It's like, no, she'll be more efficient.
They keep hammering, and they keep hammering, and they keep hammering.
Yeah, in this one, it's like she'll be more efficient if she enjoys what she's doing. She'll be more inclined to be a better killer if she enjoys being a better killer.
And it's obvious she does, because she's very ready to go for the next job. Like, I don't.
Well, I mean, she's basically giving up her family to do the job.
Yeah, because that's all. That's more work for her. She has to fake it when she's home, right?
Don't we all?
Well, and that's what it's saying. That's why it's like, no, we're not. That's why I mean, like, the particulars of. I get what you're saying. The corporation. I knew you being Jorge. I actually figured you'd.
This is true.
I figured you'd lay into it more, but then I think about like Inception. I think about even The Fly. They don't really explain the device. They don't explain the science of the device.
The other thing too is and again,
I don't need you to explain the science.
Me comparing a sci-fi fantasy movie that has some elements of horror to The Dark Tower is an old joke for me, right? But so in the third book, which is hilariously called The Drawing of the Three. they do this thing where somebody jumps into somebody's consciousness and they kind of like take control of the driver's seat, so to speak.
Right.
So I'm
well, possession. It's a supernatural element.
I'm watching this movie. I'm watching Possessor and also being critical of it, comparing it to The Dark Tower. And I'm like, hold on. Like,
because that's what's in your head watching it. Yeah.
Because I'm already like thinking, well, it was better when Stephen King did it. And I understand that it's like, it's two different deals, but it's not.
You're possessed by Stephen King.
I'm possessed by Stephen King. It's not a dissimilar feeling to the movie. I find myself a bit hopeless when it comes to
some of these ideas,
of the ideas of it, because I if it's not going to be something new and innovative in the space,
yeah,
which I do think there's some things that are happening in this film.
When they get into the particular psychologically, I thought they really did. They
yeah.
Some places.
Yeah. I agree with you, but overall I think like the bones of it are kind of frail. And that's
I could see that.
That's where my hang up is.
I agree. And it's a I lot know of style. Frail bones.
And you do have hollow bones and you're an expert on shitty bones.
Yeah. And I want to be clear. I don't think this is a bad movie by any means. And I'm not saying I don't even like this movie. I'm just saying I was
you did say that.
No. I guess.
Yeah, maybe, I mean, no such thing.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
I mean, like, I was bored. I didn't care for a large chunk of the movie. Like, this stuff just doesn't resonate with me. Like, I don't vibrate on that frequency. That's not,
No, that's okay.
I agree with you that it had nice shots. I appreciate that it was practical effects. Even the hallucination was practical effects, which I always appreciate. There was cool stuff in it, but like largely the story. And I find this with a lot of Cronenberg movies. I just don't care.
Characters are not, it's cold. I understand. It's very cold. It's clinical.
Well, and you said it earlier, you said it's not a character piece really. And despite this movie exploring character a lot, it isn't a character piece.
That's what I mean. It's about character in the most like clinical way possible. It's about the idea of having a fucking character. You get what I'm saying? Like she has to fucking remember again. Like this is a person that jumps into other people. She observes them and then tries to act like them. And then like you get a story and that's the thing too. Consciously, you make up a story, you have a name, you do this stuff and you run with it because this is the story you've told yourself. And this is the one you tell the other people. And that's what I mean. All that kind of shit. That's really interesting to me. And that guy the actor did a good job to me because he had a tricky role. He had to act like
somebody else acting like himself, which I thought it was an admirable job.
And speaking of admirable, that fool has a lot of dong neck. A lot of dong neck.
Oh yeah, huh?
Dude, there was a bunch of dong in this.
And I love this too. And Sophia, don't get worried when I say this, but I love the scene where he's with his girlfriend, and you know she notices he's off, of course, because intuition and all that. But then they're having an argument after they do a bunch of coke and shit like that. And then she looks at him and is like, "I love you," and then he's like, "I love you too." And so if anyone's ever been like in a relationship where you have that bad faith, where it's like the feelings don't feel authentic, that's that scene right there. And then like, then they start fucking. So she said, "I love you," so they could get to the fucking. That's like so Cronenberg, like it hurts my feelings to watch it because it's like, damn, dude, like that's cold as fuck. And that's not horror. That's just like human interaction. Because if you've ever told someone some bullshit so you could like get it on, if you've ever been such a piece of shit to do that, well, they just did that in that movie. But they did it like, that's the thing. So he's doing it because he's possessed by this other chick, but people just do that. They just do that anyway because they're pretending to be other people. That's fucked. So I thought that was a really effective scene. And then it was like a really kind of hot sex scene though where she was riding him because it was this cold bullshit sex. And it was like, damn.
Well, but then you even have to think about too, like it's her experiencing sex as him.
And
I think that, I think those moments when she's experiencing the human experiences.
And you see the girlfriends enjoy it more because there's some novelty for her because she can feel a different presence.
Well, you know, I mean, that scene was actually symbolic. I feel like it was more symbolic of just her taking power back, because when she's having sex with her husband before, she's just laying there while he's on top of her.
And the experience that when the girlfriend has sex with her boyfriend, maybe it's totally different. Maybe he's way more you know, maybe more aggressive and
we'll see. And that's what happens control. Is she starts underneath the other girl and she's just kind of laying there while the other girl does the work, which is, you know, like reflective of what she's doing with her husband. And then she kind of just like snaps and then she sits up and she gets on top and takes over control. And like,
so a little bit of spoiler territory, if we can at this point. Yeah. Real quick.
Yeah. I mean,
aside from all the others.
Well, spoilers, I mean, there's nothing in the trailer that you wouldn't.
When he attacks the dad, she attacks the dad. Did you just assume their gender? No, but like
you have to call them they.
So again, like the intensity of the attack, that's her, but it's also him because he does resent the father.
He blinks in a little bit.
Id, and then later on she tells him the girlfriend, that was all you, because he resents the fuck out of her on some id level, right? And so, but also that scene, just like that, it reminded me a lot of the original Manchurian Candidate with just the brutality. I don't mean like the violence with that too, but how he sees the girlfriend, he just shoots her. And it like, I'm like, damn, this movie's going fucking hard right
now. I did like in those scenes in particular where you're trying to parse out whether or not
who's in control.
Because if, you know, if you give it a little bit of thought and you're like, okay, well, she's obviously in control when she's killing the dad, but is she? You know, and she's obviously in control when she shoots the girlfriend. Maybe not. I don't know. Like at this point, he's got so much anger and so much antagonism towards this family that he is willing to maybe, you know.
Well, see, the way that you know is whether or not the wax scene took place before or after that shooting. Because, like, very explicitly lets you know, like, hey, this is her consciousness disappearing, and this is his consciousness being rebuilt. Look, get it? See how it's like a skeleton getting the skin put back on?
Yeah, and again, that stuff is real. It's real fucking cute. It's like, it's just this side of like a Looney Tunes fucking skit.
I love it because it was abstract. That's the thing. I think he's actually kind of more expressionistic than his dad. You know what I'm saying? He's got the clinical tone, but I don't think his dad would go that abstract with it, you know, with it visually. I think his dad would want something more literal. You know what I mean?
Like a plug going into your butthole.
Yeah.
Like that. No, but then, where'd Jorge go?
Be right back.
Oh, bye. Okay. No, so like when you guys are talking about like who's in control and whatnot, later on, I don't know if I want to get to the end. You said you liked the end.
The end is one of the best parts.
Which part are you talking about? At the house with the kids?
Where everybody dies.
Yeah. Oh, well. Where all the people that you like and appreciate so much all die.
So good.
Okay, so.
But then I'm confused because like I don't.
Why do you think Jennifer Jason Leigh jumped in the kid?
Because Homegirl was like too good of a killer to lose, and like needed to keep her alive. Like if she would have died in like the if she would have died in the Matrix, she would have died in real life.
Why do you think Jennifer Jason Leigh jumped into the kid at the end?
It's also well, because like
it has to happen a certain way, right? Like
that's one reason.
The boyfriend has to have gone on a murderous spree, you know, after a psychotic break.
He has to be dead.
So that's part of it.
Because they need to finish the contract own the company.
I think that Matt is correct in thinking that she still believes that her killer is salvageable.
Yeah, okay, I think there's a third reason, and it's to complete her transformation. Because when he kills the kid, Brandon Cronenberg switches over to show Andrea Rice Burrow very clearly.
Wait, who?
The
girl from Mandy?
The girl from Mandy. Okay. It shows her very clearly, even though it's his body, it shows her.
Seeing her son being killed.
No, shooting her son screaming.
Yeah.
Meaning she doesn't want this life anymore. Part of her would rather her kids be dead. She resents they exist. She doesn't want any of it. And so when Jennifer Jason Leigh goes into the kid, it completes her transformation to an absolutely cold-hearted killer and all that.
Because it severs that string that she's got from her head to the... That's what she said when they had that meeting early on. Yeah. She's like, so you got like a string attached from your head that's keeping you tethered, and you need to sever that tie.
That's what I mean. And so any movie that has that much going on in one event is like, I gotta fucking hand it to him, dude. And that's why I mean, it's not just style there. And it's also like a really pessimistic thing it's saying there. This is a person who is like, and also, and then when they come out of it, they both come out of it together and they both experienced briefly what it feels like for the body to start shutting down. And if you look at their faces, they look at each other and it's like erotic almost. And Andrea Riceborough is like, she's high.
Well,
she's
she hasn't done it in such a long time that I think like it's a new familiar, unfamiliar feeling for her again.
That she hasn't died.
Well, yeah, because she's saying, if you remember earlier in the film, she says, "I can't do it anymore because I've done it too many times." Yeah. So you know, she's. I think it's one of those things where, you know, one more time could kill her.
And I love that it involves the suicide
thing. The one last time does.
I love that it involves the suicide thing just because it's suicide is a very big philosophical question, meaning like if there is free will, the best proof of free will that there is any such thing is suicide.
Yeah.
Because you can end it if you want.
Well, right? I think the traditional, like when you think about like, you know, that whole bit where she's like, pull me out.
And, I love that pull me out shit.
And you liken it to the Matrix because you're like, you know, Inception. Where somebody's just going to get pulled out, but it doesn't work that way. You actually have to die to get pulled out. And I like that aspect of it. I like that you have to either make the sacrifice for yourself or be killed somehow to be pulled out. You just can't leave.
Right.
And that's the thing that's ultimately kind of disappointing. Adds
to
the
heaviness to me too.
And frustrating to me is I think that they've got these huge concepts and these really well thought out mythos pieces. And ultimately I'm like, oh, it's Google. Huh.
Yeah.
Cool.
What do you mean it's Google, fool?
You know what I mean? Like, you know, we spent a half hour at fucking Google HQ and I'm like, I just don't, the whole
like antagonist of the film is just this big company that's trying to learn everything so it can own everything. And that's why it's doing these hits so it can have this guy in their pocket. Cause once they own him, they own this other big company. And
yeah, I know. And well, it'll sound outlandish, but maybe not from the guy who talks about adrenochrome. Look, I mean,
when in Rome,
this shit goes on. No, but there has been, there's a lot to be said about Manchurian candidates and MK Ultra and stuff. So some of this stuff, you know, whenever there's these mass killings and a lot of times they kill themselves because that's topical in a sense. To me, it becomes topical because they a lot of time they kill themselves. Yeah. So it carries in this weight of like, regardless if it was like conspiratorial or not, but about human nature.
It works for the narrative if they kill themselves.
Yeah, it works for the narrative and it works for the real world where these people go on these killing sprees and then they kill themselves because it says stuff about human nature because it's not something that just occurs in this movie.
Yeah.
Like that just fucking happens. And so this movie's like, that's what I mean. Like this, that's really like, that's heavy. It is heavy.
Yeah, I think
I'm not saying you have to fucking like it.
I think
it.
From the standpoint of like the literal concept, I think there's nothing new here. I do believe that as you talk about it, I think that you explore more and deeper and you can kind of parse out more meaning from more the movie. Of the
D. Yeah.
You pull more skin off the D and you see how long the shaft is, just like you said earlier.
Right.
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 But yeah, should they have cracked some jokes? Sure. No, and that's the thing. I'm glad this is not a. It's there is nothing to laugh so at.
They're having in this movie. Sex. One of them farts.
Oh, dude. So I. Well, never mind.
No, what?
No. I was going to talk about another movie to watch, but it's not completely unrelated.
We've never done anything.
We've never done that before, have we?
Yeah. Do it. Nah. Talk about it.
Nah.
Well. I gotta say, I was prepared to walk into a total fucking ambush here tonight, and I feel okay. The funny thing is,
when you sent that text, that was about.
I thought he was talking about possessive.
I thought he was too, I was like, I don't remember. That's my same thought. I was like, I don't super remember well it being lit, that actually. Dark.
That's why I'm like, how dare you talk about Blade Runner like that?
And then when you said that, I was like, oh shit, he's talking about possessor. Yeah, good. Okay.
Good.
Tear this fuck down.
Yeah, I mean, I still think that this movie is worth a watch. If you're a fan of like,
it might even be worth two.
You know, sci-fi horror fans, because it's got, you know, They're it's doing some things. I think calling this a horror movie is straight up blasphemy. But
I think it is a horror movie. I think all the talk.
It's a movie where the protagonist willingly shoots their own.
No. It's sure. It's got some horrific elements, but I don't think that is a straight up horror.
Agreed.
Film.
Well, because you're just thinking of it as in it has technology instead of supernatural possession.
I think this is a drama.
I agree. It's
murders
a
murders are carried out.
It's a sci-fi drama.
Yeah.
Horror.
Sci-fi action drama.
Definitely.
I don't know about action, brother. Well, you might be weird.
We should. I would be remiss if we didn't talk about the dad getting the shit stuck in his fucking mouth.
I mean, that was cool. And that teeth is always weird.
Yeah,
for me,
and then like so him surviving that, I'm like,
yeah, he would have drowned in his own blood long before they even put that in his eye.
And I want to point out too, do you remember what his toast was to, Matt?
I don't.
His toast was to boredom. So I was gonna be like, here goes fucking Matt's fucking crowning moment. He's all they straight toasted to boredom.
They tell you what the movie's about right there, bro.
Yeah, that's awful meta, you know. This is at the hour and 15 minute mark. Here's to boredom. We got another 35 minutes.
Brother. It's tight, dude.
Yeah. Wait, how long is this movie?
An hour 44 minutes.
Wow, it feels a lot longer than that.
Damn. Not to me.
Well, of course not.
Not to me, dude. Again, any movie that has those three layers going on with one event is like, it earns its stripes to me. I like that kind of.
You're an ideas guy. Like if the idea is
well, and if the style was there and it was executed. Daniel Isn't Real. I liked that movie a lot, and I liked its ideas a lot. But compare the execution of that movie to this. Like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Right? Like that's what I'm saying. And you,
I mean,
nice
in what
to that
regard?
Movie.
Like one of them is better. Which one is supposed to be better?
The acting and the shooting and the execution of things. Like the fucking,
yeah. This, I mean, this look, is look. Let's not fuck around. This movie is a competent film.
I'm not saying that.
Whether or not
Daniel Isn't Real, but I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like they're in his bottom of his subconscious, and it's like glow sticks and shit. Like, okay, dude. Like, I'm good. Thank you. You know, that's nice.
Well, I could say the same thing about melting wax figures. Yeah. I mean,
Yeah, bro.
Not glow sticks.
It's so hot topic.
I mean, at least the glow sticks,
figures are tight.
You remember when they had those candles at Hot Topic back in the day?
They would melt red.
They were like hands, and then like you would melt them, and they would melt red, and there'd be like bones underneath.
I do.
I always wanted one of those, but they were like $30, and that was poor.
Here's the thing, too.
You're not that poor, though. You had fucking...
I had Robin Hood Prince of Thieves action figures.
You did.
They were $4.99 a piece.
I had to cut mine out of cardboard, motherfucker.
Will Scarlet and Little John. Yeah. Did you really cut yours out of cardboard? Sad as fuck, bro.
You don't actually understand how poor I was as a child.
Nah, dude, apparently we weren't playing with guns and shit.
Yeah, like, I told you spent all your money on ammo.
I didn't move to Santee until I was fucking
that's
7.
That's why he's trying to trash the corporation in this movie, because he is one of the fucking
They taught
assassins.
Him about guns before he came into his views.
That's right. Yeah, before you get into your views.
All right, well, that's Possessor. I think it's worth a view.
If you're looking for a fun time, not it. Unless that's the thing. I know this sounds fucked up. This movie was fun to me. I have fun with a movie that's this cold and this brutal. And I'm not just talking about violence. I'm talking about like what it does to its character.
What it do?
Like it has blatant disregard for human well-being. Like no, it's not. It's saying like it's basically saying this is what we do. That's basically what it's saying. Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a feeling that you could probably pinpoint the two scenes that they put in that made it unrated, or that they would have had to cut out.
It's the girl with the dick.
No, so I don't even think it was that. I think it was
the thing in the dude's mouth with the teeth.
No, I was gonna say it was the stabbing at the beginning, because there was a lot of stabbings. They probably would have cut a handful of those stabbings.
It's excessive as fuck, and I love it. Because she's excessive as fuck.
And the fact that I don't think you're allowed to have male and female genitalia on screen at the same time.
Ooh.
No, and they did. Like that's a big thing. That's like a line for porn.
Smash my smushy.
You can have a dick and you can have a pussy.
You just can't have them both on screen.
You can have a dick and you can have a pussy. You can have a dick and you can have a pussy. Yeah. You can have a dick, have a dick. What? Oh, sorry.
All right, that's the Who Goes Our Podcast for episode 287. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us this evening, this morning, this shitty drive that you've got ahead of yourself.
Oh, yeah. People listen to us driving, too.
That's true. They sure do.
15 episodes in a day.
This is almost the last episode in the year of our Lord COVID.
Yes. Next week, we're doing The Mountain Kings, which is free on YouTube.
Good.
Looks like only 1,000 people have watched that movie, so I feel like we're in for a real treat.
We're ahead of the curve.
And then we'll be heading shortly into the year-end wrap-up, which is going to be real fucking interesting.
Yeah. I'll tell you what won't be on my top five.
Possessor.
Oh.
Got you there.
Well, I didn't think in a million fucking years this would be in your top five.
All right, idiots. That's the Who Goes There podcast. We're done.
Who Goes There podcast.
Next week, we're going to talk about the Mountain Kings, which I will be super disappointed about, probably.
Don't be disappointed. Get ready.
I feel like we all.
Don't be disappointed about the journey. Be D because we got there.
Yeah.
I don't say D now.
We should just make a shirt that says BD.
That's right.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.
Where's the same alarm? Well, the dog, the finder, got time to wait for tomorrow. To find it. Well, the dog's the finder. Got time to wait for tomorrow to find it.